A heart-shaped weather balloon looks like Skinner on all fours. It reads, "I'm Big Butt Skinner." At Duff Arena, the Simpsons attend the show sitting with dinosaurs.
Our journey begins 65 million years ago, when amazing creatures took their first steps.
It's so cute that all these children are excited to see their favorite dinosaurs.
Huge and realistic, the dinosaurs send panicked spectators fleeing. Milhouse clutches a Barney doll.
These aren't dinosaurs! Dinosaurs sing!
He throws the doll.
I want to go back in Mommy!
Ralph crawls up Sarah's skirt. Apu's octuplets drag him by his suspenders.
I paid $800 for 5 minutes!
Inside.
The dinosaurs ruled the Earth for millions of years, until a massive asteroid collided with the Earth, bringing their reign to an end.
A flash of light simulates an explosion. The dinosaurs keel under falling ash.
Extinct!
So remember, take good care of the Earth, or we could suffer the same fate as the dinosaurs.
Ooh, kids, did you hear that lesson?
How is that the lesson? The point of the dinosaurs is, no matter what we do, an asteroid's gonna wipe us out. So we should party hard and wreck the place.
He throws his snacks down.
Yeah, why should the asteroid have all the fun?
Homer tears up his program. Marge tosses facial tissues. Lisa frowns.
What? They've got a point.
Now the Simpsons past performers in dinosaur costumes interacting with kids and their parents.
Gift shop!
Its name, Souvenirus Rex.
All right, you can each have one toy.
Lisa chooses a plush Apatosaurus.
Lisa has a big toy. No fair. That means I get two small toys.
No fair. This isn't big. It's medium.
No fair. Then I get four small toys and Lisa gets one medium and one small.
What? He gets four and I only get two? No fair.
All right, that's it. Forget it. No toys for anyone.
Maggie holds her own plush toy away from Homer.
Okay, Maggie gets a toy.
No fair.
Choke on fossil poop.
Bart hurls a piece of copperite. The fossil hits the head of a dinosaur performer, unmasking a woman.
Hey, I know you.
The woman flees.
Wait, come back. Dad, follow that dinosaur.
I've waited my whole life to hear that.
They chase the woman backstage, passing dinosaur performers smoking cigarettes. Stagehands carting dino parts get in their way.
Triceratops head, coming through.
Stegosaurus back plates, used for either defense or control of body temperature, coming through.
They pass a replica of a giant carnivore's head.
So tired. Go on without me.
He climbs into its mouth, lies back, and shuts it. Lisa chases the woman into a dressing room and finds her half out of costume.
You're T.R. Francis. You wrote the Angelica Button books. They're my favorite fantasy novels.
Yes, it's me, the creator of your beloved magical world, full of whimsy and chapters. Now off you go. Bye-bye now.
But why are you working at a dinosaur show? And why did you run away from me? And how did Angelica get a new wand after Baron Morgdeth burned the Wandwood Forest? And
look, you seem like a smart kid, so here's the truth. T.R. Francis isn't real.
Of course you're real. Everybody knows you got the idea for this series after an explosion at a crumpet factory knocked you off a double-decker bus. How could that be made up?
I'm just an actress they use for the jacket photo. That inspirational life story is pure fiction. Oh, I hate to break it to you, but all the books you kids love are conceived in executive boardrooms. The plots are based on market research. And the pages are churned out by a room full of pill-popping lit majors desperate for work.
A janitor blasts an exhausted writer with a hose.
Publishers rake in the cash, and unsuspecting kids get 10 books a year by their favorite author.
Everything I believed about young adult literature is a lie.
Now, security drags Homer away, still in the head.
It's not against the law to sleep in a Tyrannosaurus head.
Sir, you're inside an Allosaurus.
I demand to speak to my paleontologist.
Lisa frowns at her Angelica Button book.
Can I have my allowance early? I need to buy some carbon offset credits so I can burn all my Angelica Button books.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry your book lady turned out to be a dinosaur. But you liked the stories when you read them, so what does it matter?
Doesn't it bother you that Betty Crocker is an invention of 20s-era ad men?
I know you're hurting, but that's no reason to lash out at me.
Marge trashes her cake mix.
Do you think publishers would lie to their readers just to make an easy $1 million?
$1 million?
Every book on the young adult charts is written by 5 idiots who just want to take advantage of kids.
I know 5 idiots.
And they just cash their checks and get away with it every time. It's the perfect crime, as long as you
you don't mind betraying the trust of vulnerable young minds.
The perfect crime, eh?
A title, The Book Job. At a video game arcade, Bart plays Fruit Shoot and blasts pineapples and strawberries with a gun controller. Homer joins the game.
Whatever the job is, I'm not interested.
$1 million has changed stupider minds than yours.
I like the beat. Play me the tune.
We're taking down kids who read.
Chapter book crowd, that's a juicy peach, but what's the cream?
I'm putting together a tween-lit gang right.
Tween-lit gang right?
Tween-lit gang right. But this babar needs a zephyr.
A zephyr?
You're the zephyr.
This better not turn out like Kansas City.
It won't be like Kansas City.
Bart types into the game's high score field, I'm in. A chapter card reads, The Crew. Skinner takes bloomers from a clothesline.
Come on, Skinner, you're the best kid man in the business. You've read their notes, searched their lockers, you know how tweens think.
Oh, no thanks, gentlemen. I've got a nice, quiet life here, and I mean to keep it that way.
Your friends are looking at my bloomers. Wash them again.
Bart and Homer share a crafty look.
With your share of the money, you could get your own studio apartment.
The refrigerator could have my magnets on it. I'm in.
Now with Patty.
Come on, beautiful. I can't do the job without you. So what do you say?
She punches him out.
Our crew needs you, Bouvier. You've read enough fantasy novels to choke a hippogriff.
It's true. I'm fluent in every imaginary language, from Dothraki to Parseltongue.
A subtitle. I'm in. Now at Moe's.
I wouldn't join one of your harebrained schemes for all the Japanese girlfriend pillows in Kyoto.
We're not here for you. We're here for Lenny.
Sorry, guys. I just adopted a capuchin monkey, and I can't leave it alone during the bonding phase.
Bart and Homer turn away.
Wait. I want in. What does your crew need? A safecracker? A wheelman?
The caper is writing a kid's fantasy novel.
Well, I don't like to brag about it, but I did publish 5 modestly successful children's books.
One's called There's a Rainbow in My Basement.
All we need now is a computer guy.
With Frink.
You have a computer?
Yes.
You're in.
In what?
At home.
I keep going over the job from every angle, but I can't shake the feeling that we're missing something.
Relax. With the team we put together, our book will fly off the shelves, and we'll be sipping Mai Tais on a beach in Shelbyville.
Your group writing a book? But the only reason anyone would ever do that is... profit.
Like, no one ever writes for money, Lisa. I don't see your boyfriend, William Shakespeare, missing too many meals.
I'll show you. I'll write a book myself. A personal story my readers will connect with.
Wait, you're gonna be all the guys? How would that work?
Ugh.
Now, Lisa sips a cup of tea and sits at a laptop.
This is how real writers do it. I'll just bang out 2,000 words, and then I'll stop. Even if I'm on fire, I gotta pace myself. Chapter 1. Wait, I can't start without music to inspire me. Why is Bach next to Muddy Waters? That's my problem. I gotta get these CDs organized.
Now, back at her laptop, Lisa types.
There, finished. Now, if I win just 2 more games of Online Boggle, I'll be ready to start writing. Spot, stop, sop, top tops, pot pots, opt ops. Post!
A chapter, The Setup, at a Book of Chinos.
Okay, we've cased a lot of tween books. What's their M.O.?
The heroes are all orphans.
And they're set in a place kids relate to. Say, a school. But it's actually magic.
And the protagonist always discovers that he is supernatural.
Okay, our book will be about an orphan who goes to a magical school where he discovers he's a vampire.
Vampires? Like these?
Patty points out shelf after shelf of vampire novels. The gang's shared thought bubble dissolves.
So many vampires with the fangs and the capes and the medals. Nobody knows how they earned them.
Hey, this job's falling apart. Everyone head for a different airport, and we meet in Rio in a year with new faces.
Bart uses the sound effects book.
No one's going anywhere. Okay, the vampire genre is sucked out. All we gotta do is find a new monster to be our hero.
Children scream at Mo.
A troll!
Hey, I ain't a troll. Look, I bleed red, just like you.
He pricks his finger.
The first part is always green, but it turns red.
A troll, that's it. Our book could be about an orphan troll.
Trolls live under bridges. The school should be under a bridge, the Brooklyn Bridge.
And the cool kids are elves. The cheerleaders are pixies. The stoners are... gargoyles.
And they play a complicated sport, which makes no sense, called Fuzzle Pitch.
A troll rides a dragon and ice skates.
We've cracked it.
We're gonna be rich.
Pardon me, but are you scheming to co-author a successful series of children's fantasy novels? Okay, Stonehenge, let's see how good you are at eavesdropping without a throat.
Don't tell him. That's Neil Gaiman.
I don't care if he's the guy who wrote Sandman Volume 1, Preludes and Nocturnes. No one spies on us.
Patty separates them.
Perhaps someone of my experience would be a valuable addition to your crew.
The king of fantasy books on our fantasy book writing team?
Okay, Gaiman, you're in. Your job is to get lunch and lose the British accent.
Cheeseburgers, French fries. I'm all over that, pal.
At the store's coffee shop.
Sitting in a coffee shop, I couldn't feel more like a real writer. Oh, better set up my Wi-Fi in case I need to do some research. But if I'm gonna use their free internet, I really should buy something. God, I love being a writer.
Now, split screens swap in and out. Lisa's draft reads only chapter one, while Frink easily types the first page. Lisa builds a house of pencils. Patty posts note cards, and Skinner posts character designs. Lisa watches MyTube's kitten on a toilet video. Now, the crew hands Frink an outline. He's on chapter 19. Lisa builds a pencil fort, then rubs a spot on her window. Gaiman brings the crew pizza. Lisa sprays cleaner on her window. Gaiman rouses a snoozing Bart, Skinner, and Homer with drinks, then he tases Mo. Lisa washes her window from the outside. As the crew proofreads, Lisa watches Friday Night Lights DVDs.
And so Lucinda placed the fifth shard in the stained glass window, which now clearly read, "Your parents are alive." Gregor turned to his twin sister, and they both understood their journey was just beginning. The end.
It's good. Weekly Reader star selection good.
I just hope we put in enough steampunk, whatever that is.
Who wants to see my cover markup?
He prints out a poster-sized cover design.
The Troll Twins of Underbridge Academy.
I'm so proud of us.
Oh, you didn't write any of it.
That tuna didn't sell it itself.
At home, Lisa's laptop still reads chapter one.
I've got it! A mermaid falls in love with a boy on land! I'm a genius!
She eyes a Little Mermaid poster.
Writing is the hardest thing ever!
Her printer churns out pages.
Huh? Hope you don't mind us printing our book in your room, Lise.
Yeah, only your professional strength output tray can handle the weight of our manuscript.
Correction, finished manuscript.
Woohoo! A chapter, the commercials. Now the crew walks toward us in slick suits. Chapter, The Heist. They enter the Springfield Book Fair. A concert ad for the Rock Bottom Remainders reads every ticket available. Later, a door reads Tween Lit Inc.
Trolls in a magical prep school under the Brooklyn Bridge. Interesting.
They hand over the manuscript. The publisher flips through it.
This is a really good book.
We know. We wrote it.
I laminated the lunch menus and put them in a binder.
But we have a problem here. Where's your fake author?
Fake author?
Fake author. If you don't have a made-up author with an inspirational tale, you don't have a book. Where's your Franklin W. Dixon? Where is your T.R. Francis? Where is your Stephen King?
Later, the crew stalks through a hallway.
Stupid! 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 We forgot to create a fake author!
That was Gaiman's job. Let's acid melt him in a bathtub!
Okay, stay frosty. All we need to do is find some sap to pretend to be the writer of our book. So hit the floor and find some pathetic wannabe author.
Lisa arrives at the convention. A chapter heading appears beneath her intimidated gaze, the front.
Coming to the book fair sure was a great idea, because you can't write if you don't know what the competition's up to.
A dog sits at an author's table. An enlarged book cover reads, Sit, Stay, Love.
A dog wrote a bestseller? All I've done is procrastinate! Oh, who am I kidding? There will never be a book with my name on it.
Or your name could be on a book in 10 minutes.
Do I have to do any writing?
No.
Amen.
A chapter, The Score. The crew presents Lisa to the publisher.
Ah, a preteen prodigy. I like the hook. What's the phony backstory?
Bart pushes Lisa forward.
I was raised in a traveling circus. My mother was a lady ringmaster and my father was a lion barber. I wrote my first story with clown lipstick on a flattened popcorn box. It was featured in the New Yorker's Best 40 Under 4 issue.
Whoa. Is R.L. Stein here? Because you just gave me goosebumps.
His lackeys laugh.
Hey, go on, boss. Congratulations. You just sold your book for $1 million.
The publisher writes a check payable to the crew. A chapter, The Payday. At Moe's, the crew celebrates.
Gentlemen, to the Troll Twins of Underbridge Academy.
Woo!
So, does it square us for Kansas City?
Square us, golden books, Pop.
At the bar.
What?
What happened to me? In one vulnerable moment, I became the thing I hated most. A literary fraud.
But, Lise, when this book comes out, you'll be beloved. Not just by Milhouses. You'll get attention from Jacksons, Xanders, even Aidens.
Oh, I've always wanted an Aiden.
Skinner brings a parcel.
Here it is. An advanced copy.
Homer unwraps it, revealing its cover.
The Vampire Twins of Transylvania Prep? Where's the trolls?
Frank opens the book.
The trolls are now vampires, the Brooklyn Bridge is now a castle, and Fuzzle Pitch is now Blood Ball. Oh, weak, weak, and lame!
How could the publishers change our book? If they had been in charge of the Sistine Chapel, the whole thing would be vampires instead of the Pope's private naked dude mural.
On the phone.
We market tested the book, and it really got dinged on the whole trolls thing. I mean, dinged. So we made some changes. Don't feel bad. Before we got our hands on Twilight, it was about a girl who fell in love with a golem. But teenagers weren't going to spend their allowances to join Team Schmool.
But the trolls were the best part!
Do the characters still say trolley instead of cool?
No.
Oh, that is so untrolly!
Hey, if you don't want your words changed, write a screenplay. We own your book. So why don't you go and cry into your million-dollar check?
He hangs up.
How could they do this to our book?
It was the singular vision of seven people.
No way!
What you're feeling is called pride of authorship. You thought you only cared about money, but you actually care more about what you've created together.
British Fonzie is right. Our story is actually more important than money.
I was going to buy the apartment next door and fill it with dolls. But now that just sounds stupid.
They can't do this to us. We've got to fight back.
Yeah, let's get it!
Bart smashes Moe's pickled egg jar.
Rule number one of book heists. Never fall in love with the book. We queer the deal, we lose the money.
Bart, remember the 1,000-year war between the trolls and the ogres?
Yeah?
Now it's a dance contest at the vampire prom.
Holding the check, Bart grimly rips it in two.
Let's steal back our book.
Now an elaborate high-rise stands by a sign, Tween Lit Inc. Headquarters. The crew arrives. Chapter, The Actual Heist.
Somewhere in that building is a computer with their sucky version of our masterpiece.
The book prints at midnight. So if we swap in the original version, they'll print the wrong book. Our book.
And before the publishers can do anything about it, the troll twins of Underbridge Academy will be in every bookstore in America.
This is the Fuzzle Pitch Finals, and tonight we drink from the Wazzle Cup.
In the lobby.
Hello, I'm the pizza delivery man.
We didn't order a pizza.
No, of course you didn't. The establishment I work for delivers pizzas to everyone and then gives the customer the option of accepting or refusing delivery.
That's a terrible business strategy.
No, it's quite sound.
Okay, fine. Where's the pizza?
Pizza?
The rest of the crew sneak past. Infiltrating, Homer knocks out guards with a gas bomb. Frink takes surveillance. Patty scales the building. Robot dogs chase Moe. Bart strips down from his fatigues to a tux. Gaiman provides beverages. On top of a rising elevator, Homer gets squished. In the tux, Bart strips down to crusty pajamas. A guard checks a restroom and leaves. The crew sneaks out of a stall. Now at a printing press.
The central computer's through here. All we have to do is upload our file and...
A door rises, revealing the publisher with armed guards. They surround the crew.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Kansas City.
Kansas City.
So you thought you would unruin your book. If it's any consolation, you never had a chance.
Woohoo! All right!
Someone in your gang tipped me off to your little caper.
A traitor?
The gang members glare at each other.
I bet it's the Earl of Marmalade over here.
No, guys. It was me.
It can't be. It's always a dame.
But why?
Because a little girl wants her dream to come true.
Life-size standees feature Lisa.
My name is finally on a book! And they're letting me write the sequel. A hard deadline is just the kick in the pants I need to focus and get some serious writing done.
Now to enter the password and to authorize final publication. My favorite theme of wall calendar.
He enters gridiron grates.
Lisa, would you care to do the honors?
He gives her a flash drive.
I'm sorry.
Lisa hugs Bart. He pushes her away. She inserts the drive into the computer and clicks publish. The printing press turns out pages.
Oh, by the way, the audiobook is only available abridged.
Abridged!
Now the crew glumly walks down a sidewalk.
Well, we may have lost, but we gave the bad guy a laugh. That's something.
They find a tween-lit truck stocking books in a Bucchino's window.
Our book! The real one!
Yes!
Oh, wonderful words.
No need to thank me, boys.
Hey, you wouldn't say that unless there was a need to thank you.
You could never have printed your version of the book without the publisher's password. So I pretended to betray you. Then after he typed the password, I secretly switched the flash drives.
She switches them as she hugs Bart.
You switched the drives?
I got the idea from every movie ever made.
Now, inside the store, Milhouse the twins, Ralph the comic book guy, and others happily read the book. From a balcony, the crew watches with satisfied smiles.
And the best part is, my face is still on the back flap.
She looks.
Gaiman!
The flap features his photo and bio. Now on Shelbyville Beach, a waiter serves Gaiman a tropical drink.
Poor Lisa. Did it never occur to her that there might be three flash drives? I've heisted my way to the bestseller list once again. And the most brilliant part is, I don't even know how to read.
Words appear. The end. Executive producer Matt Selman. Executive producer Al Jean. Executive producers James L. Brooks, Matt Groening, Sam Simon. As credits continue, a scuba-clad Mo emerges from bushes bordering the beach.
Gaiman, I've been waiting to do this for a long time.
Raising a knife, he slices the pineapple and garnishes their drinks.
Congratulations, partner. We did it.
Mo sips his.
Neil, how come you watched me drink mine, but you didn't drink yours?
It's simple, Mo. I don't like the taste of poison.
Oh, crap.